crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Remnitzer is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The front text. God works through the office of the Holy Ministry, preaching, teaching, and administering the Holy Word of God and the Holy Sacraments of God. Through the office, pastors proclaim the truth of God's word to God's people. It's not the pastor preparing the people, but God preparing and keeping God's people, God's people. God has been preparing and keeping his people since the fall of mankind. his word. There are, however, hard things that God's people are going to hear from God's word through the pastors who preach God's word. And yet it is God preparing his people for truth, not some make-believe world of jovial pretend peace. One of the hardest truths that is shown forth through God's Holy Scriptures is the fact that God tests and exercises faith. Again, God has been doing this since the fall of mankind. As in the Canaanite woman's example, it is amidst tribulations that you come to know your most extreme poverty, your need, and your unworthiness. Whenever a doubt-filled or great downfall occurred in the Old Testament times, one would go to the Ark of the Covenant and ask the Lord, who would answer one before the throne of grace. In the New Testament times that you live in, whenever suffering and cross come your way, you are driven to prayer in Christ, who is the true throne of grace, as he is referenced in Romans chapter 3. And thus he will give you an answer. As the children of Israel suffered from thirst in the wilderness, the order was given that Moses should strike the rock with his staff to quench the thirst of God's children. So also, when your hearts become anxious amidst various trials, your soul should thirst for God like a drought-stricken land. The rock, who is Christ Jesus, as he is referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the rock has already been struck through his crucifixion. And it is the water and blood that flow from his side that feeds and sustains his believing bride, the church. Just as Christ brings the Canaanite woman to wrestle with him, God desires to be wrestled with, to strengthen faith. Jacob was brought to wrestle with the Lord. And the whole time, while in the midst of wrestling, it was God giving him the strength to go on, but to remind Jacob to not trust in the strength of his own flesh and only trust in the strength of the Lord. The angel gives Jacob a limp that will remain with him to his dying day. And upon the portal of death, when Jacob and all are at their weakest, by faith alone, in the strength of Christ's merit alone, Jacob's limp-filled, simple body will be no more, permanently replaced by an immortal, immaculate, resurrected body on the last day. Just as God's children are ever brought to be tested, to drive to Christ alone as the only source of strength, that faith would be rightly focused, so Christ brings the Canaanite woman's faith to undergo testing and trial. And he continues to do the same with his own as time goes on. As it is written in 1 Peter chapter 1, though for now a little while, if needed, various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And friends, in Christ Jesus, just as gold is tested and purified by fire, so also is faith through various trials and ordeals. God sends faith into what seems a tailspin, but it's to strengthen it. This is made clear throughout God's Holy Scriptures. To think that faith should not be tested and thus left alone is actually more dangerous than when faith is in the midst of tribulations and suffering. You just heard it in the parable of the sower and the seed not too long ago. By faith, you receive the seed of the divine word into the acreage or field of your hearts. And since an unplowed acreage or field does not produce any fruit, God, the Lord, cultivates the believers, not just by his word of law, but also by means of cross and trials, so that the seed of the word may produce the fruit of repentance and belief. This is what Christ is doing with the Canaanite woman, and he does it out of mercy, strengthening faith by rightly focusing faith. The flesh is ever desiring to not reveal its weakness, to grow in its pride, to do what it desires to do, especially abandoning the word of God and making its own way to man-made guesses and smile-filled facades. As long as everyone is getting along and there seems to be a happy peacefulness, well, then that's all that matters, right? A right focused faith, making sure that God's word is taught in its truth and purity, why, that would bring tension and uncomfortableness. Gracious, that sounds like there's such a thing as the church militant. My friends in Christ Jesus, there is. You are the church militant whom God works through. God is sure to allow the uncomfortableness through testing and trials. He sends you into the fray and out of your comfort zones to bring you to look more deeply into his word, keeping faith stronger through proper focus. Errant doctrine and practice happen because of sin, and it thwarts God's word and God's people. God still uses it for good. God brings you to reflect heavier upon his word. Does God bring you to have some strains in life, possibly in your families, because he brings you to stay true to his word? Possibly, yes. But he does this so that faith would be strengthened toward him and love increase toward your neighbor. And that happens the word properly proclaimed and his holy sacraments rightly administered. This is how God works. Sadly in the past, sadly in the present, and sadly in the future, the church will be attacked. The maligning of God's word takes place, and this saddens God's people. But as he has done in the past, so he will do now and forever. The Lord will see his people through. With his holy word and holy sacraments, he will feed you with his truth and keep you in the one true faith. God's word opens your eyes to see that this is a tumultuous life, a life of ups and downs, strains and stresses. Do not think that the church is excluded from such sin. As Luther stated, where God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. As much as your flesh might want to ignore that the church must fight for God's truth, that is not how God desires you to deal with the maligning of his word. God's holy scripture reveals what the pastoral duty is and Christian duty is regarding addressing and loving your errant brothers and sisters. In God desiring you to have a firmer faith, he is simply, or not so simply, bringing you to have eyes that are more firmly fixed on the truth of his word. And being so, you are more firmly fixed on the gospel of Jesus Christ and been crucified and risen for you for the forgiveness of your sins. In the blessed, inerrant, efficacious, Holy Spirit-inspired words of St. Paul, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God moves you forward, tending to you, cultivating you, trimming you like branches on a vine to strengthen the very faith that he created in you in the first place. As he has done so in the past, countless times more than what is documented in Holy Scripture, as he made sure of the genuineness of Jacob and the Canaanite woman's faith, so he will see his people through today and forever. Thanks be to God that he brought others whom you don't even know to fight for his truth in the past so that you would receive his truth today. And may he continue that your children and grandchildren and those who will never know our names will have it in the future. Fear not, as you are moved forward by God, for the word of the Lord endureth forever, and his word of truth and his sacraments of truth will continually point you to your only sure and certain hope, the incarnate hope that does not disappoint, that does not put you to shame. By grace alone, because of the merits of Christ crucified and risen for you alone,